Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope featuring Pastor Rick Womack.
Why are we the church? The body of Christ. Why are we? Because we are supposed to be, Jesus called it, salt and light in this world. And you can't have any light coming forth if there's not some darkness for it to come forth in. You can't have any salt if there's no place for the salt to go. If you don't have salt, if I don't have salt, if we don't have salt, if we're not salt, then we're just like the world. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins, Lord, and you provide for us eternal life. But God, I thank you that it doesn't stop there, because in John 10:10, Jesus said that he came to give us abundant life. So Father, this morning I'm thankful for eternal life, but I'm also thankful for abundant life. And Lord, help us all to move in the abundance of your blessing. Lord, I just believe that you give good gifts to your children. Father, you've entrusted us in this house of worship with many resources, not the least of which is our ability to have a ministry in the marketplace, to be salt and light in different and various places. And Lord, through that, you bless us. Many of us are able to have influence because we have jobs. Many of us have influence because we have position or influence or recognition in other places, Lord. And all those things, God, we want to surrender continually and be good stewards of those things. And Father, now as we prepare this morning to receive, to bring our tithes, as the scripture says, we bring our tithes into the storehouse. And we give gifts, Lord. We bring them to this place of worship in humble awareness that, God, today you've blessed us. We are richly, richly blessed people. Lord, I thank you for the blessing that you've blessed us with life eternal and life abundant. And God, as we sow, maybe some for the first time, some have been giving for years, I'm thankful for those, Lord, that partner in the work of the kingdom and that are able to. Lord, those that aren't, I understand, God. I ask you to make provision there, God. Open doors. Open the windows of heaven, Lord. They can see the blessing of God pour out upon their lives. And Father, as we give this morning, we pray for the advancement, the continual thrusting forward of your kingdom in our lives, in our communities. God, we just call for the kingdom to come forward in Thomaston. We call for the kingdom to come forward in Forsyth and Griffin, Pike County, Meansville and The Rock, and Zebulon. We call for the kingdom to come forward, God. Lord, as we go forward, we realize that we're carrying that kingdom with us. So God, use these resources and the many others to advance that cause in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for giving this morning, church. Powerful song. anybody in a hurry to go home today? Y'all good? You know, last time I preached, I was on vacation last week. Last time I preached, I had 27 pages of notes. And we got through it. And y'all were troopers. You hung in there. And that's my notes for today. So you ought to feel relieved, okay? I really, just seeking the Lord this week. And really, I have two messages. And let me welcome, I guess we're second cousins, Ty, right? Ty Moser is with me, with our family, with my mom, their cousins. And Ty lives in North Carolina, and he's been down visiting. We've got some family up in the Atlanta area as well, a great uncle that is living up in Buford. And so he's been kind of out visiting. It's good to see you, and we're going to go eat some lunch later on. So I just wanted to make him welcome, and thank you for being here, sir. He actually had a very early influence, and it's a memory we've talked about a few times. Probably just as a little boy, and I don't know how old, but I remember going to Aunt Pat's house, your mom, and sitting down at the piano and plunking around on the piano. How many of y'all have kids that plunk on the piano? How many of you have plunked on the piano? Some of us still do, that's right. And it was really encouraging, and then later on, you know, through the years, I would pick up guitar, and then I still plunk on the piano. And a little bit of bass, and so he's a pianist, and really was actually probably an inspirational moment in my life as an early child to see that come forward, and it's really cool. So thank you for that, and thank you for your influence at an early age. Speaking of influence, I need to let the kids go, and we're going to do that in just a second. But kids' church, I want you to hear something. We had talking about influence and expanding the kingdom. We had some people gone last week. Of course, I was one of them, but I wasn't with Libby and Toy, or not Toy, but you know, on the mission field, Toy. Libby and Carmen and Stacy were in Ecuador serving. And so Stacy and Carmen are going to be back this evening to share their testimony, but I've asked Libby to come, and she is absolutely thrilled because she loves to have the microphone and stand in front of people. And I recall that very well. So Libby, y'all give her a hand. Make her feel welcome. And take as long as you want.
This one's really short. This is gonna be really short. I'm not gonna take y'all's time. But I just spent time in Ecuador this past week. I did mostly kids ministry, and I enjoyed it very much. And I'm excited to go back for my next mission trip. And so we went to Macas. And there was a bunch of children there, and we were there for 2 days. And just the love of the children there, it was really overwhelming. I was very, like, surprised that I formed relationships with them. It was really hard to leave, and I've never had to, like, form a relationship with someone and have to leave, because usually you know you'll be able to see them again. But having to say goodbye and never see them again is really hard. I've never had to do that, and it was a big thing for me. And after we left and got back in Quito, one of our leaders told us it was the best 2 days of their life. So it was a really big deal for me, and I'm really excited to go back on a mission trip, and just praise God for that. And
did you do anything adventurous? Did you do anything adventurous?
Yes, I did. To celebrate the 4th of July, we went down a zip line, Superman style, over a canyon and waterfall. You only live once, so I just had to keep telling myself that, and I probably would have cried. Yeah, I'm glad none of y'all were there. It was a bad moment for me.
That's awesome. Thank you. Y'all give her a hand. If you're on Facebook, I'll let the kids go in just a second. If you're on Facebook, take a moment to look at Carmen and Libby's page and Stacy's pages and look at the pictures. And I want you in particular to look at the smiles, both in the kids but also in the team that was there. They really added value to the church. And that's why I'm a big believer in missions. That's why I believe everybody should go on a missions trip, is because there's something special about adding value to others in a sacrificial way. And so thank you for going. Thank you, church, for supporting Carmen and Libby and Stacy. Thank you for offerings and donations and medical supplies. You'll hear more about the medical ministry that we provided this evening. We had two focuses, foci, and that was medical and children's ministry. So you heard a little bit about children's. You'll hear more about medical. And we'll probably put up a few pictures tonight. So Kids Church, you guys stand up. Are y'all excited to go to Kids Church? One is. Everybody else sit down. If you didn't say yeah, then you got to stay. Hey, if you see a child next to you, stretch your hand toward him. Let's pray over them. Father, we thank you for the gift that these children are. We pray that this will be a powerful time in their life, and they will come to know Jesus in a greater way and walk in his steps, empowered by the Spirit of God all of the days of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys are dismissed. While they're going, let me make just a couple of announcements. Tonight's service at 6 p.m. will be focused on testimony and prayer. So I need testimony people. If you got a testimony, we'd love for you to come and share it. Even if you've shared it before, we would love for you to be here. It's going to be a powerful time. And then I want us to pray. Really burdened by our nation. Burdened by the church. Burdened for the church. Not burdened for our nation and burdened for the church is probably a better way to put those two things. So 6 p.m. tonight, come join us, and we'll go till 7 or sometime after. We'll see. Bridge the Gap, our senior adult gathering, is this coming Tuesday at 11:30, July 14th, in the Fellowship Hall. Canteen goods are set up in 101 and 102. We had some supplies left over from canteen at the camp meeting. We would love for you to buy them from us. Please buy them from us. There's also fun camp going on this week, the Mountain Gap Campground. And then it's not in here, but let me just mention, Miss Ruby Pitts has her 100th birthday coming up. The birthday celebration is August the is the 11th, 8th. And so there's a little display out on the foyer guest services desk, and there's a great picture of Miss Ruby and an invitation, and the church family is invited. No gifts. The family requests no gifts. Just bring a card and just bring yourselves and your family. And what a great honor to have someone celebrating 100 years. That's exciting. Amen? And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. I have two messages this morning, and I don't know how I'm going to preach either one of them, but we're going to get through them, okay? Okay. Actually, I just have really two. They're not full-blown messages. It's not 27 pages. But Ephesians chapter 3, I don't know that I'm really going to preach very long this morning. I may actually come back tonight and share more. I have come to the fullness of the understanding of time that when I come and bring my Bible and plan to read out of my Bible, I must bring my reading glasses. Vicki, you are awfully quick on that amen. Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to look at verse 10 and 11. Everybody say the word surprise. Mystery. Let me start actually in verse 8. It makes a little more sense. This is out of New King James. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. Now, I could just stop right there and preach on that, because all of us have a grace on our life, and it's important that we understand that the grace that God gives us is the grace in which we're supposed to operate in. Let me try that on this side and see if y'all are listening. There is a grace that all of us have, and we become really dysfunctional in the body of Christ when we try to operate in somebody else's grace. Paul understood this, and he said it in verse 8. He said, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. What was the grace? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. His language is so rich here. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Christ Jesus. Now get this. In my Bible, there's a colon after that. And so he's getting ready to explain what the mystery is. And that's where I want us to focus in on for just a couple moments this morning, is verses 10 and 11. And he says in verse 10, he says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in other words, Paul is giving us an understanding of what the purpose of the church is. What is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is this, that the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to those who are rulers and those who are authority. Ephesians. I read a story about the duck that thought he was a dog. And ducks have a way of, shortly after being hatched, they begin to imprint. And I didn't really know what this was, so I had to research it a little bit. But imprinting is when that newborn attaches itself to the very first thing that the duck sees. And so naturally it should be mama duck, right? But this duck in particular, this little duckling rather, the first thing that the duck saw was a collie. So you got Lassie on the scene. You got a duck and Lassie. Some of y'all are probably too young to know who Lassie is, but sad. It is sad. And Three Stooges and Abbott and Costello. Anyways. But so you got the duck and you got Lassie, and the duck decides that's mama. And so mama, the Lassie dog, the collie, begins to become mother. And so the duck sees a car, and you know what follows when the dog sees a car. For some dogs, they like to chase the car and bark. And so the duck waddles, quack, quack, quack. Now, I've never done that in my life. And I will never do it again, probably. But he's doing his best. He's doing his best to be the dog. I just want to be like mama. The challenge is, my son's about to lose it up here. The challenge is this, guys, is that a lot of times we're like that duck. We see something that inspires us, something that will even nurture and care for us. And so we decide, hey, I want to be like that. And Paul is writing the letter to the Ephesians church to try to help them understand. I want to challenge you. There's 6 chapters. It's not hard reading, folks. 6 chapters. Read a chapter a day. And every time you get to somewhere where it says in Christ or in Him, or there's a reference to being found in the position of Christ, I want to ask you to underline it, maybe make a note of it, take notes. Because Paul is trying to echo and get this point across to the Ephesians church, the church in Ephesus. This is who you are. And what I want you to understand is I want you to understand that this manifold wisdom of God, this multifaceted, this multidimensional wisdom of God might be made known by the church. That's us. To the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. So our goal is to demonstrate the manifold, the multifaceted wisdom of God. Now go with me to Mark chapter 2. I told you I had 3 sermons. We're going to come back to Ephesians 1 in a little bit. Mark chapter 2. Hey, one of the things we did last week, I will confess, and some of y'all know this already. In fact, somebody asked me. I skipped church last week. I was on vacation. And some of y'all might go to church when you're on vacation, but I don't. I do sometimes, actually. But last Sunday, I went to the Braves game. And my son, we were actually going to go pay $6 for a hot dog at the ballpark. And Josh, who was demonstrating the multifaceted wisdom of God, said, hey, Dad, why don't we go to the Varsity where we can get 2 hot dogs for $6? And so, how many of y'all have not been to the Varsity? I'm pretty sure there's only one person. What? Wow, there's more people than I thought. I just knew. Yes, we're going to the Varsity field trip. Field trip to the Varsity. Y'all are messing. You're messing with my mic, aren't you? I see you back there. I'm hearing myself change. I think my hearing's going out, and they're working on it. It already is, right? I know. I was hearing the ring, too. So, So we go to the Varsity. Varsity, you know what? There's another restaurant. There's really, if you want, in my opinion, if you want a good hot dog, go to the Varsity. Can I get an amen? Amen. I knew John Mixon would give me an amen. If you want a good hot dog, go to the Varsity. Frosted orange, chili dog, onion rings. I'm preaching good right now, aren't I, Marcus? I see you got the head nod. Getting hungry? If you're ever in California, or if you're ever in, what is this? Just hang with me. This has relevance. You'll see in a moment. If you're ever in California or Texas, there's another place called In-N-Out. And literally, In-N-Out, I went to the one by LA, Los Angeles Airport. There's one not too far from there. And literally, the line was forever long. There's huge line that's wrapped around, and they're actually a Christian company, In-N-Out is. And their goal is really just that, is to get you in and out. And for those of you who've been in the Varsity, that's pretty much the same thing, isn't it? I mean, not too many people come around and check on you, see if you need any more mustard and ketchup. They just want to get you your burger, your you know, that gut thing that's getting ready to happen after you eat it, and then get you out so you can go take care of it down the road and enjoy it for a little while longer. In and out. And In and out is the same thing. It's get your burger. Now, it's really good burger, okay? Really good burger. And then get you in, get your food, and get out. Very simple menu, a lot like the Varsity. So why are you saying all this? Because here's what I want us to see. That's the way the kingdom works. That's the goal of the Father, is that the kingdom would be expanded in such a way that those who are out would come in so that he could do a work in so we would go out. The kingdom works that way. So that those, I want to ask you just to pray something today. Will you just pray that people will be saved at Mountain Gap Church? I was so inspired by a friend of mine who's a pastor, and he shared that with me. I said, you know what, I'm stealing that. That's good. Because you know why? Because it's powerful. There's a lot more I could say about it and a lot more going through my head, but if you and I will pray that people will be saved and discipled at Mountain Gap Church, we'll see the kingdom expand. Mark chapter 2, are you there? And again, he entered Capernaum. And after some days, and it was heard that he was in, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there, and they were reasoning in their hearts. I love this part. So Mark is like, if you ever watched the TV show 24, Mark is like the 24 of gospel writers. He is very to the point, boom, boom, moving to the next story. It's a lot of action. And so some of the scribes were sitting and they were reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." There's an emphasis there. He has power to forgive. I say to you, or he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately he arose. He took up the bed and he went home, or went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Let me pray. Father, for the next few moments, give me the entrance into men and women's hearts to speak with grace and truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. And Lord, that's my prayer, is that my life and my words and everything will be characterized by grace and also truth, Lord. God, take the words that you've given me and the impressions that you've put on my heart and the things you've spoken to me, and help me to convey them with the anointing, with the unction of the Holy Spirit. God, I realize that this morning I'm nothing without you, but also thank you, Lord, that with you there's a grace on my life, and you complete me, Lord, and you fill my life. And so, Lord, this morning I stand under your authority. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you for a few minutes to picture the scene. The scene is that Jesus is there, and Jesus is in the house, and the house begins to fill up with folks. People from all around want to come hear what Jesus has to say. What is this man? What is this great teaching? This is what Jesus does, by the way. Jesus always draws a crowd. Jesus draws the crowd, and the people are there, and they're listening intently to what this man has to say. But then there's something else going on in the background. There's something else that Mark helps us to see. Leading up to this point, even though Jesus is in the house teaching, there are four guys, and they have this idea. They're scheming. They're planning. How can we get this man into his presence? How can we get him to Jesus? Now, he's paralyzed. Understand something. Whatever plan they come up with, he has no way of refusing it. And I don't mean to make light of that, but that's true. There is no way. All he can do is shake his head no. He cannot refuse their help. And so they decide, we'll put him on a mat and we'll carry him to the house. And they want to get the man who's on the outside in. They want to get the man who is dysfunctional in his body into the presence of Jesus so that Jesus might speak to that disease and declare it gone and him healed. And so they come up with this plan. Let's put him on a mat. Let's take him. And so they take him to Jesus. And when they get him to Jesus, the crowd is full, even coming to out the doorway. There's no way to get in. The crowd is pressed in. There's no room. And there's particularly no room for someone who's carrying a large obstacle like a man who's paralyzed on a mat. I have an idea. Let's take him to the roof. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but this is really kind of a humorous scene to me. Have you ever seen a paralyzed man lifted to the roof of a house? I mean, the technology can't be very advanced at this time. All right? There's no forklift. No cherry picker. It's four guys and a mat and maybe some rope. And so a couple of guys go up. Some of y'all are getting the picture. Tommy's getting it. I know. And so you got four guys. Two guys go up on the roof. Let me go up first. Hey, Bob, you go up first, and Billy will go up first. And so Bob and Billy go up, and they get up on the roof. And then the other two say, okay, let's lean him on the mat or stretcher. I don't know what it looked like. And so maybe he's leaning against the wall, and then we're going to hoist him up. It's a really chaotic scene. I mean, there's already chaos taking place because the crowd is pressed in because they want to hear what Jesus has to say. They want to receive from Jesus the truth. They just want to get this guy into his presence. And so they finally get the man up to the roof, and he's up there, and they say, okay, well, what do we do now? We tear a hole in it. Nothing like good friends, is there? I mean, can you imagine this scene in today's society? Can you imagine it? I've got a friend of mine. I've mentioned his name before. Josh has heard him speak before. His name is Bruce, and Bruce is a missionary, and he goes into Pakistan, and he rescues children out of slavery. And when Bruce goes into Pakistan, he hires armed guards, because you don't go to Pakistan as a Christian and try to rescue people out of slavery unless you have armed guards. That's just common sense. Everybody knows that, right? And so Bruce goes in with armed guards, machine guns, and guys with crazy mad skills, and he rescues children out of slavery. Sometimes he buys them out of slavery. Sometimes he rescues them out of slavery. I kind of think that Bruce might be one of these guys. Bruce would be the guy. I think Bruce just turned 60, by the way. Bruce is still doing this. And he still climbs mountains. And he still cycles all over the U.S. He's an adrenaline junkie. But God uses that in a powerful way. I think Bruce would be one of the four. If Bruce were around in this day, Bruce would be the guy who goes in and says, hey, I've got the idea. We're going to lift him up to the roof. So they lift him up to the roof. They get him to the roof. And then they begin to decide, let's tear the roof apart. Now, okay, just fast forward or zoom out for a minute and think about this. Now, Jesus is there and he's teaching. Thus saith, verily I saith unto you. Because that's how Jesus taught, right? Okay, never mind. So Jesus is teaching them. And as Jesus is teaching them, a little bit of debris begins to fall. I wonder if Jesus says, what if up? What if up? What's up? Why is the roof falling? And Jesus surely had to have been disturbed by this commotion that was taking place, this scratching and rubbing and pounding and peeling and everything that had to be taking place on the roof. The guys lower him in to his presence. I wanted to get to this point right here, and I just want to say to you very clearly and very articulately as much as I can. One moment in the presence of the Lord can change your life. It can do more than 3 years of preaching and teaching by me or Charles Stanley or T.D. Jakes. One moment in the presence of the Lord can change your life. All it takes is a moment. So they lower him, and he's in the presence of the Lord. Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw the faith of the man's friends, he spoke to the greatest need in the life of the paralytic. And that great need, you know what it was? It was inside. It wasn't out. The need was inside. It was your sins. Your sins. And remember why they took them. Perhaps Jesus will heal them. But Jesus saw their faith. And so, church, when I ask you the question, will you pray with me that people will be saved? That's what I'm talking about. That kind of faith. That kind of faith that says, you know what? I know you may be dysfunctional. Let me help you up. Let me pull you up from your dysfunction. That kind of faith that says, regardless of the obstacles and the things that may stand between me and God's presence, I'm busting through. I preached this message a while back. I'm busting through those things because the deepest need is always inside. And some of them, the scribes, there's always the scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, they were sitting there and they began to reason in their hearts. They began to, put it another way, they began to figure this out. They began to deduce. They began to draw conclusions. They began to make assumptions. They began to say, Jesus, who do you think you are? What right do you have to forgive this man's sin? Now, I too would think this would be a funny scene. Can you, just for a moment, just on the side of levity for a moment, can you just imagine if Jesus showed up and began to discern your thoughts while you're sitting here this morning? And then he blurted it out. Some of you thought about your pot roast. And you thought, I don't know, I hope he doesn't preach both of those sermons. Why are you worried about your pot roast? I just think it's a funny scene to me. It's funny in a sad sort of a way that Jesus discerns their hearts. He knows what's going on the inside. And he calls them to an account for what's happening on the inside. You know, the interesting thing is the scribes had the same need that the paralytic had. They were just as dysfunctional. Oh, they could move around and they could get inside the door. But they couldn't see the Son of God and the miracle worker and the Savior and the healer and the deliverer that he was. They were just as dysfunctional because their dysfunction started on the inside. Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or take up your mat, your bed, and walk? But just so that you know, the Son of Man has the power or the authority on earth to forgive. He said, take up your mat and go to your house. And I like that. Because you know what he did? He did a work on the inside. They exposed their heart, which is also inside. The scribes did. And he called them on it. He didn't pass an opportunity. And then he did a work on the outside. And then he sent the man who had come inside to the outside so that he could go get others that were on the outside and bring them to the inside. That's how the kingdom expands. That is how. Well, that's why I started with Ephesians chapter 3, because I wanted us to see that there is this manifold, multifaceted wisdom of God that we are supposed to be demonstrating to those in authority, those rulers, and those in power, principalities in power. We have that response. We have that assignment. That's our assignment. That's what. Why are we here this morning? Because you had nothing else to do? Let me zoom that out some. Why are we the church? The body of Christ. Why are we? Because we are supposed to be, Jesus called it, salt and light in this world. And you can't have any light coming forth if there's not some darkness for it to come forth in. You can't have any salt if there's no place for the salt to go. If you don't have salt, if I don't have salt, if we don't have salt, if we're not salt, then we're just like the world. See, the challenge is that I'm going to zoom out and speak in terms of the church as a whole. I'm not saying Mountain Gap in particular, but the church, the body of Jesus, is a large segment that just want to kind of hunker down and hold our own. When I read this story in Mark 2, Jesus didn't forgive the man and heal the man and say, sit around and listen to my teaching. He forgave the man, he healed the man, and he said, now get up and go home where you can have some influence. Because that's how the kingdom goes forward. There was no sit around and listen to me teach for a while. In fact, the ones who were there, the scribes in particular, that was probably their that was more than likely one of their big fallacies. Because that's what they did. They listened to him teach. So we got to go from the inside out. And we got to ask God, and I'm going to wrap it up in just a moment. We got to ask God, what is the work you want to do on my inside? Because I've been the scribe. I've been that scribe. Probably most of us in this room that know Jesus have been that scribe. Some of us may be here and we may be the paralytic. We may be the guy who's eat up with dysfunction. We may be the guy who can't walk and can't move forward. Can only stand still. And then I love how Mark ends it up, and he says that it was remarkable. It was amazing. It was so amazing that everybody marveled, and they glorified God, and they declared, we've never seen anything like this. So much in my heart about that statement. We've never seen anything like this before. I want to read verse 12 again one more time. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal something, some truth to you. So Lord, before I read this, I ask you by your Spirit to reveal truth and make application in our lives. Verse 12, immediately he arose. He took up the bed and he went out in the presence of them all so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. I just believe the Lord's going to help you to see how that applies to your own life. And rather than me tell you how it needs to apply, I just want to trust that the Holy Spirit will help you to see how it applies. Go with me one last passage, Ephesians chapter 1. Just going to read a few verses and I may come back to this tonight during our prayer time. Really want to start at verse 15. That's the point of emphasis. But for the sake of filling in context, let's start in verse 13. Paul is writing. Because in verse 15, there's a word there that starts it, and it says, therefore. And just as a basic understanding, anytime you see the word therefore, you need to know what it's there for. Okay? So we're going to go to verse 13 so we can understand why therefore is there for. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So really he's pointing out two things. You came to know Christ at a point of salvation, and the Holy Spirit sealed you. Verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now verse 15 through, we'll see, maybe 23, maybe 18. Therefore, I also, and Paul gets real personal, he says, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So let me just stop right there. And Paul helps the Ephesians church, the church at Ephesus. He says, I heard about how you gave your life to Jesus. Now imagine this paralytic man. I heard about the work that Jesus did inside of your heart, how he forgave your sins. Hey, you know what else? I also heard how he healed your dysfunction. Paul kind of along the same lines, I heard about your faith in Jesus, how you surrendered your life to Christ, and how you now have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've heard of these things. And ever since I heard about that, church, I cannot stop thinking of you, and I cannot stop praying for you. So what does he pray? Let's look at it. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of revelation, of wisdom and revelation, and the knowledge of Him. And let me just stop right there. And actually, verses 15 and 16 is two important points, because Paul had evidence of their life in Christ. He saw their faith in God, and he saw their love for the saints. He saw the vertical relationship, and he also saw this horizontal relationship. And then he says, because of those things, because Christ is your Savior, because you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, I can't stop thinking of you. Sounds like a great love song. And I can't stop praying for you. It's a Christian love song now, okay? I can't stop thanking you. I can't stop praying for you. And this is my prayer for you, that God would give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom, what is that? It's just the basic understanding of how we live our life in Christ. It's not hard. I have been, if you've noticed, if you received the text messages here lately, I've been sending out a lot of Proverbs. You know why? Because Proverbs is just really, if you want to camp out in two books, camp out in Psalms and Proverbs. And Psalms will help you in establishing this vertical relationship, and Proverbs will help you in establishing and walking in these horizontal relationships. And I've been sending those out because I believe one of the greatest needs that we have, at least I have, and maybe I'm the only one, maybe nobody else will get anything out of it, but I know that I need more wisdom to walk in this world. I know that I need more wisdom to be the pastor of this church. I know that I need more wisdom to lead my family. I know that I need more wisdom in my day-to-day life. So Paul is praying this. I'm praying that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the unfolding, the understanding of what you need to be a true follower of Jesus. The knowledge of Him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. And He gives us three things. I want us to see these, and I'm going to be done in just a moment. He gives us three things. That you may know, one, what is the hope of His calling? Two, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And three, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? I'm praying that you and I will understand what is the hope of our calling, the riches that we have in His inheritance, and the power that is at work in us. I go back to Mark 2, the paralytic. That day, in the presence of the Lord, dropped down through a roof by four friends. That day, that man understood three things. He understood hope. He understood hope because his sins had been forgiven. He understood the riches of his inheritance because his body had been healed. Healing is ours, amen? And he understood the power that was at work. He understood that power. Now, Tyler, can you come up and play? Thanks, man. As I'm winding this down, I'm going to read 18 and 19 just again. I'm probably going to go through slowly. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, that you may know what is the hope of His calling? What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us? Toward us. Toward us. Toward me. But take it personally. Because I believe, according to the working of His mighty power. What kind of power is it? Well, let's look at verse 20. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and He seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. And He put all things, look at your neighbor and say all things. He put all things under His feet. We used to sing that song. He's under my feet, He's under my feet. He's under. I know that's terrible. You just didn't have the rhythm with me, did you? No, just say, Rick, you had no rhythm. It's okay. I love that song. And he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And we didn't talk about that when we sang this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning.
Today, Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.